What is up, Aspire Leaders? Thank you so much for joining once again this week, but then also just for those listeners joining me this past month. So I want to shout out, obviously, you know, the United States is the bulk of my listens, and folks in Texas, Illinois, South Carolina, Tennessee, thank you so much for not only listening, but sharing out the podcast to other people, maybe your friends, your coworkers, and so on. That means a lot. I also wanted to thank those countries that have the Aspire podcast ranked in the top 200 for educational podcasts. So looking at Thailand, Poland, Canada, and Australia, thank you so much for taking the time to, again, just listen to the podcast and share that out. I do want to give kind of a charge or maybe ask for your help. Looking at Apple Podcasts, I've been stuck on 49 ratings and reviews. And I don't know why that bugs me, but I would love to get a 50th for the Aspire Lead podcast. So if you wouldn't mind taking a moment just to jump on there, if you enjoy the podcast, love to have that favorable rating and review. But right now, kind of stuck on 49. So if you can help me out, that would be wonderful. But today, I have the wonderful opportunity to speak with a phenomenal young and growing leader, Adam Stolzer, who's in his second year as a junior and senior high school principal. And the conversation today really is built on just his time trying to get a leadership position and not getting it the first time, talking through the mindset and kind of the things that he did to get into the role he is in today. But then also once you get that job, right, you're brand new as a school leader and you're trying to put your stamp on the building and assess and build that school culture that you want. And so, you know, we really speak on what he has termed the power of purple. And this mantra has really been the centerpiece of his initiatives on the campus. So super excited to talk with him about his journey and how he has really become a servant as a leader and just some of the things that he's learned just in these last 2 years as a building principal. Welcome back, everyone, to Aspire to Lead, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper. All right, welcome back, Aspire Leaders, and happy 2024. I know I probably have said that a couple times here, but I feel like this is renewed energy for a lot of leaders, and I have brought on someone that is really about passion, about culture. He's got this mantra that he uses as a new leader. I have spoken to multiple people that have shared just how wonderful he has transformed on this campus, and I'm so excited to have him share kind of his secrets of what's going on. So Adam, I just want to first thank you so much for being on Aspire to Lead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's the beginning of the year, and I think it's a time where we're all in that mindset of New Year's resolutions or ways that we can improve and self-grow. Yes. And there's just that natural time frame where we're all got that extra fire in us of what can we do new this year? What can we add? And I just hope that people can aspire to take something away from this and looking forward to a great conversation ahead.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Adam, you were talking about having a snow day before we even push record and that renewed energy from the students coming back. And I know you probably have a lot of goals for yourself, for your campus moving forward into the school year. Love to touch on that. But before we talk about all those topics, I would love for you to share a little bit about your educational and leadership journey and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, it's been a fast ride. I've been in education for 9 years. I taught math for 7 years, was a head boys basketball coach here during that time as well. And I actually applied for the job I'm in twice, didn't get it the first time, and then got it the second time. But total blessing and one of the best events of my life was not getting it the first time. One, to learn, and then also to get the mentor in my life that I needed to be a better leader and for it to serve Burwell the best I can. So it was very unique going from classroom teacher to principal in the district that I'm in, but it was just been a true blessing. It was awesome to have that year of mentorship under Mr. Maynard and then now continued as he's now our superintendent from there. And it's just funny how things always have a way of working themselves out the way that they need to for success. And so, yeah, that's been my journey. It's been awesome. I wouldn't trade it for anything. That's been awesome to be around these people and live in Burwell.
All right. So, Adam, I want to touch on something that you just said, which was not getting the job the first time. And I think a lot of young leaders, you know, trying to get into that role, whatever they're trying to get, if it's counselor, AP, whatnot, that sometimes they hit some adversity as far as the interview process. And maybe it's not a good fit, or maybe they feel like the candidate needs to grow more. And sometimes when you're hit in the face with that, then you have to do some kind of reflection of, do I continue to try and aspire to be what I want, or do I just give up? And I know a lot of people struggle when they hear for the first time that they didn't get the job. So you had said you did a couple things to get you prepared. So I want to kind of hear about the back end of that. You know, what were your feelings after that denial of getting the job that you wanted, but then also what was the process to get to where you are right now?
Yeah. And the power of purple has been a big thing for me. And you touched on that at the beginning. And part of that, in the power of purple, the R is reflect and the E is evolve. Mm-hmm. And I really had to reflect and I had to evolve on who I was. And they brought in Mr. Maynard, who was just a wealth of knowledge. And right away, part of me reflecting is I need to learn from somebody with experience and not just have my own personal ideas, which those personal ideas were great, but not expand on them and learn more. So I leaned on that and I was just a sponge. Learn as much as you can and learn from people around you. I mean, collab in your building, collab with other leaders, collab with other aspiring leaders, and have that connectedness where we can learn from each other. So I really needed to learn of how could I take my broad ideas, narrow them down to more specific ideas of how I was going to lead, and also transition from being a teacher to an administrator. I didn't know that was going to happen in 1 year like it did in that time frame, but that's how it worked out. And that was good. So the learning curve got really sped up on all of that. But I think it also goes to leadership is hard, and you're going to have moments of adversity. You're going to have to look in the mirror and reflect and evolve of how can you grow, have very honest and real conversations with yourself of how you can make those changes. So for me, it was just be a sponge. It was learn something and don't go to the next interview, no matter when that is, being the same person. What new tools can you bring? What new ideas can you bring? How can you sharpen the irons that you already have?
Well, you brought up Power Purple. I kind of mentioned it to you at the beginning. You're obviously wearing purple. For those who are watching on YouTube can see that too. So will you just kind of break that down? You touched on a couple terms that are key within that phrase, but I know it's something that is kind of your mantra, something that you use on your campus and has seen a lot of success. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So for me, it was, I wanted to have what I kind of identified as leadership. And how I wanted to lead my school, how I wanted to, when the going got tough, when you had those moments of adversity, when you have tough decisions, you can always go back to what is your leadership style, your leadership beliefs. And for me, it was passion, which led to unique, reflect, pride, leaving a legacy, and evolving. And so that's the power of purple, where when push comes to shove, I can lean on those. As a school, we can lean on those. As a community, we lean on those. And it really has taken off. You know, it's social media, putting it in emails, just talking about it, living about it. It's been really good. But I really don't think that you can teach passion. I think it's something that you either have or you don't. And I want to work daily to leave a legacy for our kids, that they had the best opportunity they could, that our staff could have the best opportunity they can. And knowing that every interaction that we have with young people, that we have with staff, is all about what legacy you're leaving. And that legacy is not what happens when you're here, but when you walk out the door, what's still going on? What's that legacy? What do they remember? What do they feel?
You're a fairly young leader. I mean, you've been in the role for not too long. I can imagine that, you know, taking over a building has its own struggles. And one of those is trying to kind of assess the school culture and then also put your own fingerprints on that. And I'm assuming that Power of Purple was a big component of that. I'm just curious how that's changed, maybe in a good way or a bad way. I don't know, as far as the school culture and what's that look like within, you know, having this mantra, like you said, for the students, for the staff, and then also the community.
Yeah. So when we took over, I felt that we really needed to get that connectedness, that togetherness with collaboration and that sense of pride that, gosh, dang it, we're Burwell Longhorns. We wear purple. That is who we are. Like, I'm proud to say I'm from there. And, you know, my wife and I, we painted the purple power stripe a week before school going down the hall. But I think it's been a common language. It's when people are all talking the same thing in your organization, from students to parents to board members. I mean, I probably cried when the board member wrote his back to school letter going into my second year And he's including the power of purple, not prompted, not asked by anybody. He did that. So it's a common language, you know, when your students, your staff, your community, when you're all speaking the same language, then you have the same vision and goal of where you want to go, who you want your students to be, who you want your school to be. I mean, we've had teachers who have made projects where asking their kids of what the power of purple means to you and explain that and expand on that. Or what is your favorite word? So I don't think you can have a culture if you don't have the identity of where you want to go. And having that language, that word, those words help us direct to where we go. And maybe it's because I want to see it, but I've totally seen it just with the buy-in, you know, hashtags on social media, the conversations you hear. It's not just, oh, that's Mr. Stolzer's thing. You know, I totally feel that it is embedded in who we are.
Well, let's talk about the school culture piece as far as being present too, because I know, you know, seeing on social media and some other things that you're very accessible. People are not trying to seek you out because you're hiding in an office. I know that's not your leadership style. So I just want to know why you had that mindset and, you know, some of the practical things that are occurring on your campus based on the fact that you are everywhere on the campus versus just in the front office.
Yeah. A quote that I heard very early on was, if service is below you, then leadership is above you. And I really think we need to be there to serve our staff and serve our students. And that is a people game. We are here for them. And if you want better teachers, invest in them, be around them, talk to them, collaborate with them. Let them know that you hear what they're saying. If you want to get better test scores, well, go invest in your students. Build relationships with them. It all goes back to, do people feel valued? Do people know they're appreciated? Do people know that you recognize them? And so I really enjoy being out in the hallway. I mean, we're a small school. We have 125 K through, or 7 through 12. We have just under 300 if you go pre-K through 12. So it's very easy to be out and about. Our school's a long hallway. I could be at one end and see the front office and that vice versa. But those Super Bowl commercial interactions that you have, those 15, 20, 30 second interactions, I think they add up to make the biggest difference. There's a time and a place for those 5, 10 long, but those super short ones let you lead in your building, let you know what's going on in your building. You're aware of problems before they come. And it helps you set the tone. If you want a certain culture, lead from within. You know, if you want people to talk to each other, say good morning to everybody that walks by. And people probably get tired. Mr. Soldier, this is the 10th time you've told me good morning, or hey, how's my day going? But those little conversations have to be starting modeling that. And I just don't think that you can put enough emphasis on being present and available for the people who need you when they need you.
Well, and I guess there's a component of servanthood in that too. I love that quote that you just talked about as far as things beneath you. And, you know, you talked about modeling, you probably want to be present and modeling the appropriate behavior and things that you want to see other folks do. And there's no better way to do it within your actions, not just with your words.
Yes. I mean, I've got the mobile desk where I can leave and get out into the building so that I'm not locked in my office. But it's okay for people to see that if you need me to cover your class so you can go to use the restroom, I'm here for you. You're human. You don't need to hold your bladder for that time. Or if you need to go get copies made, or if you need to go talk to a teacher or go talk to our resource teacher, like, I want to be there for those, because that's what makes the educational system flow. And knowing that you're supported, and it's not, I mean, I hate seeing on social media all the teacher stereotypes of, it's like, I don't have time to go to the bathroom, I don't have time to go make copies. Like, in today's education, that's where I need to support teachers. I need to be there for that, so that if you do need that time, I'm there. But also those students, you know, I can interact with them in the hall, make sure that they're getting where they need. There was a kid who graduated last year, straight A, 4.0. And it's like, I think that's the most I've ever talked to the principal, you know, where just having that. But it's getting to, if when you talk to the principal, it's not just about bad things. Your school, you know, you can bring things to me and talk to me, and we can work together to solve this. We can write up a constitution so seniors can cut to the front of the line, you know, and do different things. We can have fun with it. So I just want to be here for our staff. I want to be here for our students, because if I can make their lives better, then I'm going to make our school and our community better.
Well, let's talk about that, the perception of a principal, because I think a lot of times you're viewed, I know I was, as a bad guy. And it always bothered me, right? As far as walking into a room and, you know, a teacher would jump up from their desk and, you know, try to create the perfect environment, or a student would see me and be like, who are you coming to get? You know, that kind of perception is like, I was always trying to break that. And I can only assume that was similar on your campus based on what you're saying. So what are some ways you're trying to break the negative perception of your leadership position?
Yes, it's a great question. And when I was a teacher, it was that, where when the principal came in the room, it was those exact same things of who's in trouble, what do you need, all of that. Through Mr. Maynard starting it, and now me, we've had now, you know, 2.5 years where it is common practice that we're going to be in and out of rooms, and half the time kids don't even notice you walk in. But there's that perception of, the only time I talk to the principal is when I'm in trouble. And that's not a healthy school culture. That's not healthy for kids. They need to have as many trusted adults in their lives as they can, and building that relationships. And being in education, you know that every kid has a different trusted adult, and we need to get as many points of contacts with adults for those kids where they can have those trusted adults. And so, I mean, they want to know that you're at their games. They want to know that you're at their speech meets, that you're taking interest in their art class. I mean, I love going into classrooms, snapping pictures of what's going on, and then posting them on social media, where it's not just the kid who scored 30 points the night before. And again, I'm an old basketball coach. I love that stuff. But what about that kid who just made this amazing art piece? We had a girl last semester. She had a guitar and painted a skeleton on it. And it was one of, like, something you see in a magazine. Like, that stuff needs to be celebrated with all the amazing things that we are doing. So building that trust that, again, I want to catch you doing the good. And then when the bad comes, we have those relationships where we can work through them together. And it's a model of growth, not a model of punishment.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
You had talked about some key components you felt like leaders needed to have within the Power of Purple, and I just want to touch on two of them, which was passion and pride. I would love for you to speak a little bit more about those two, just in regards to how it's amplified you as a young aspiring leader, but then also a building leader now.
Yeah. So first off, for me, passion is everything. And, you know, when I coached, I really clang on to the quote, you know, light yourself on fire with passion so others come from miles around to watch you burn. And kids are the biggest BS detector there is. They know when you're faking it. And if you want them to invest in you and invest in your school and invest in giving their best, you better be passionate about what you do. And so I think every day coming with that intensity, that tenacity of having the role to be the best person you can be, to make the best education possible, and love what you do. I mean, if you love what you do, you're going to be better at what you do. And if you invest that time, so passion for me is just huge. That's one thing I hope that I instill, is find your passion. We don't all have to have the same, you know, but be passionate about what you do. And then pride for me, I moved into Burwell. I was not from here. I moved 4 hours away from my comfort zone, totally different way of life than what I was born. I mean, this is ranch, sand hills, rodeo, not who Adam was until he moved here. But I took pride in being from here, and I take pride from being in here. I married a Burwell gal. We have kids here, and I want to water the grass where I'm at. I think a lot of times we always look for what's next, what's bigger, what can I do? Are you investing where you're at? Are you investing what you want to do? And Burwell's become my home. It's my place that I love. And when people ask where I'm from now, it's not, I'm from Springfield, Nebraska. I'm from Burwell, Nebraska. Like, this is where I'm at. And I think when you couple those two pieces together, pride and passion, they go hand in hand, where if you're proud of who you are and where you're from, and you accept your uniqueness and you accept your talents, you're passionate about it, and you have that greatest impact, to improve and move forward with purpose.
I love it, Adam. Well, I want to obviously have some actual items for our listeners, because I mean, we get folks that are listening that are trying to aspire to be something more than they currently are as far as their position. But then we also have some really wonderful and amazing current leaders. And so, you know, it's wonderful for them to listen to our conversation today, but I also want them to have some actionable items. So if someone can do, you know, something tomorrow or next week to enhance their leadership journey, what would you advise them to do?
I think it's a natural one for being the beginning of the year. Is take the next step that you've wanted to take that you haven't taken. I took a step to move to a mobile desk this year. I wanted to increase my presence and availability, and I did that, but I did it with having someone behind me that could put a little wind behind my sails and my mentor. So find that person, but the step that you want to take in 2024, aspire to take that step to leave a legacy. Don't look back and regret that you didn't take a leap to try something new to evolve. And I'm going back to those power of purple words there, but that's who I am. I hope if you listen to this, you take away, like, these aren't just words on paper for me. Like, they are who I am. So in 2024, evolve to leave a legacy where you model that you're going to take that step and try something new to better your practices, better your systems, and make you a better leader in 2024.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot, because I had mentioned at the beginning, it's 2024 and New Year's resolutions are going on. You know, we're building our goals for yourself though. If you wouldn't mind giving an example, like for the Power of Purple and for your campus, like what is something that you're going to step out and do within your campus to, you know, get you guys to the next step?
Yeah, that's one that we're working on right now. I really want to be more intentional with my conversations with teachers, where it's intentional feedback, and that there's a plan and a purpose. You know, I really want to make sure that we're on the same page. I'm supporting their goals and having those intentional conversations, not just, you know, conversations, being way more intentional.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you're talking about before with the servanthood, but then also the support as a building leader. And that's obviously evident in what you're talking about and the mission that you have. I'm super excited to see what's going on, you know, moving forward on your campus. And, you know, for Adam, if someone's not following you right now on social media, you know, you are tweeting out stuff, you are posting stuff about your campus and what you're doing. And obviously that's going to be an inspiration for others. So I would love for my audience to connect with you some way, somehow, either through a website or through social media. So how can they do that?
Yeah, X, or formerly Twitter, I guess. I don't know how long we have to keep saying formerly Twitter, right? But Adam_Stolzer28 would be the resource there. Or just look up the Burwell Longhorns on Facebook or on Twitter at BHS Longhorns. We post a lot of stuff there. I think one of the biggest things in education is stealing things. I love to look at other schools and administrators' social media pages of what are they doing that we can do to add to us. So we'd love to have you follow us, and maybe you could take something away that aspires you to be a better leader in 2024.
Yeah, we'll have that all on joshstanford.com. So Adam Stolzer will be, you know, all the links, like he said, Facebook and whatnot will be on there. And then, of course, we have this on video for those who are listening on the podcast platforms on YouTube. You can go to Joshua Stamper. That's my channel. But also it's on the Teach Better page, as that community is growing every single day. Adam, with that, man, I am so inspired by our conversation today. I'm super pumped to see what is going to go on with the Power of Purple. I know it's not just impacting your community, your students, your teachers, but also beyond that. And I know it's going to transform a lot of different campuses as people are kind of adopting the same things that you're doing. So with that, thank you for all that you're doing for education, but also thank you for your time today on Aspire to Lead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I totally appreciate it. It's these conversations get me going. So I'm like ready to go run through a brick wall right now and just go make a difference. So just thanks for having me on. Totally appreciate it.